Don't you hate it when you watch a TV show and they get to the end of the show and guess what? It's not over. It says to be continued. I always hate that. You know, you have to try to catch the ending at a later time. But I just like for a show to wrap up. And by the way, I only watch shows or movies that end good. If it doesn't end good, why would I want to watch it? People say, oh, well, that's the way life is. Well, I ain't believing for that. I'm believing for victory and that somehow it's going to end good. But when you're watching the show, I just always like for it to wrap up. I don't like loose ends and everything just be kind of left hanging. But, you know, the truth is that we all have some ongoing struggles and some ongoing stories and some ongoing battles. Life isn't always that simple. One day is connected to the next. And, it's interesting how our lives go that way where we got to, there's another day coming. There's another year coming in just 2 days. But we want to get ready for that. You know, we're living in an ever-changing world. But there are some things that we shouldn't change. Now, I want to clarify. God is always moving and working in our lives, and if we allow him to, he's changing us. In fact, the Bible says in Philippians 1:16, being confident of this very thing, that he who has began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on you. There's none of us that has arrived, because guess what? He's not going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep working on us until Jesus comes back. But in this ever-changing world, there are some things that, well, don't change. One is that his word is forever settled in heaven. And God himself never changes. But I want you to know tonight that there's some things about our life that we need to be steadfast in. Some things that shouldn't change in our life as we go from day to day and year to year. Some things that need to be continued in our life every day. Jesus said, when our Lord comes, we're blessed if he finds us doing what we're supposed to be doing. When he comes again. You know, it's funny to me how people, you know, talk about, well, the Lord's coming. The Lord could come any day. The Lord could come, you know, we better do this, we better do that. And I'm just like, you know, what difference does it make? Aren't you going to do what the Lord wants you to do? Whether it's a day or 10 years or 100 years, aren't you going to live every day the way the Lord wants you to anyway? That's the way it ought to be, right? But we're blessed if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing when the Lord comes. So tonight, we're going to talk about some of the things that the Bible says we're always supposed to do, to continue to do. Number one, and most important, is continue in prayer. The Bible says in Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You got to stay in prayer. Continue in prayer. Don't ever stop praying. Say, well, I prayed and I didn't see anything. Keep praying. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 18 with this end, that men should always pray and never give up. We got to never give up. We just keep praying and keep praying. You know why? Because he says that our heavenly Father will avenge us speedily. God's going to make it right, but we've got to keep on praying. I want to remind you, prayer is how we get the Lord's help. And man, do we ever need his help. Amen? I mean, more than ever, it seems like, at least in my lifetime, it seems like we need the Lord's help. So don't stop praying when things are difficult, but pray all the more. Be bullheaded about praying. Anybody bullheaded besides me? Well, at least one other. That's good. I see somebody trying to raise somebody else's hand, but yeah, there's some of us. Did you know that being bullheaded is not always a bad thing? I mean, it can be when you're wrong and you're bullheaded. Well, that's just bad. It's just really bad. But when it comes to doing something that you're supposed to do, bullheaded is great. And you know what? I just encourage you, even you easygoing people that aren't bullheaded, here's something you need to be bullheaded about is prayer. That you're going to pray when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good. When when you're all stirred up because you just heard your favorite worship song, and when everything's going wrong and you're all bummed out, you're still going to pray. You got to continue in prayer all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You just don't stop. You pray about your day. You pray for your loved ones. You pray for your neighbors. You pray for your pastors. And don't forget, the Bible says, well, Jesus himself said it, Matthew 5:44, you pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, you start praying for the people that mistreat you, it gives you a whole new boost to your prayer life, because, man, that can make your prayer list a lot longer, right? Why do we ignore the words of Jesus? Well, we're blessed when we do them. And here's how you continue always in prayer. Here's how you pray without ceasing. You see, if you're praying for your loved ones and you're praying about the problems that you're dealing with and the things going on in our world and praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and then you add on to that all those people, that person that cut you off in traffic, what do? Stick your fist out the window, call them an idiot. Or we could do what the Bible says and we pray for them. We'll end up praying continually, all the time. Pray for the lost. You know, here's how Jesus said to pray for the lost. It's not just, you know, praying that God will deal with their heart. All those kinds of prayers are great. But Jesus told the disciples to pray this way. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field because the fields are white unto harvest. He said, there's a harvest that's ready, but he said, the laborers are few. So, man, when we pray for the lost, we pray that God will send workers to the field. We pray for our country. It's so divided right now. And it, you know what? I know that there's something in human nature, you know, especially some people, they like to be controversial, you know, they like a good argument, they like all that. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're talking about a house, a church, or a country. It can't stand if it's divided. Now, that doesn't mean, listen, some people get really mixed up about that. That doesn't mean you have to agree on everything. That's stupid. Nobody ever, you don't even agree with your wife about everything. That's the dumbest idea. Some people think, oh, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That means you got to agree on everything. No, it doesn't. It means that you agree to walk together. It means you agree to go together. You disagree about a lot of things sometimes, but you still go together. And we need to pray for that kind of unity in our country. Not that we agree on everything, but we agree. What if there was a third world war? God forbid. You know what would happen to our country all of a sudden? Nobody would care if you're a Republican or Democrat. We're Americans. We need to pray for our country. I hope it doesn't require a third world war for us to get there, but we need to pray for unity in our country. Now, there's a lot of things we need to pray for our country. Amen. We need to pray for revival. Let it begin with the house of God. That's what the Bible says. Amen. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to pray for the Bible says to pray for the sick. We need to do that. We need to pray about our own life, especially right here at the beginning of a year. We need to pray for God's direction in our life. Really seek the Lord for his direction. Not just decide what we want to do or what our goals are, but instead prayerfully, let's ask God, what does he want? And we need to pray for his strength. We get weary and tired, but God is never short on strength. We need to pray for wisdom. The Bible says he gives liberally and doesn't hold back. We need to pray for the things that would cause us to be anxious. Anybody been upset about something today? The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. How do you do that? You can't just say, well, I'm not going to be anxious. You know how I know? I've tried it. Not going to be anxious. Not going to stress. No. You got to do something besides just say, I'm not going to do that. You got to pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God. That's how you can be anxious for nothing. There's 1,000 things to pray about every day. And the Bible tells us that prayer avails much. It changes things. We need to remember all of our efforts can fail without the Lord's help. And I have to tell you that there's so many things in life that I try to do. And somewhere along the way, it happens to me all the time. Somewhere in the midst of trying to get this done or trying to fix that or trying to make this happen, I realize, Lord, I can't do this without your help. I mean, even simple things that I should know how to do or that I've done in the past. And at some point, I realize, you know what? I haven't prayed about this. I need the Lord's help. We just need to always pray. So I want to encourage you, as we're beginning a new year, make prayer a top priority in your life, that you always make room for prayer. Here we are, wrapping up a year. Leave behind the self-sufficiency. Leave behind the prayerlessness. Leave behind the struggling on your own. But instead, pray continually. Next, continue in the Word. Now, these are really simple, basic things that we all know, but I'm just telling you, we need to make an intentional, deliberate effort to continue in these things. It's John 8:31 in the New King James. It says it this way. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You really are my disciples then. If you abide in my word. Now the King James Version says, if you continue in my word. Another translation says, if you stay in my word. He's talking about living in it, dwelling in it, staying in it, continuing in it. You don't dabble in it. No, you're in it all the time, always in the word. You know, I don't know how, but somehow or another, to a lot of people, you know, a word church became a negative thing. And maybe it was identifying with certain teachers or something. I don't know exactly how that came about. But I'm just telling you, every church ought to be a word church. That this is what we focus on. Every believer ought to be a word person. Because we're supposed to live in it. He said, continue in my word. Abide in my word. See, you just got to stay in the Word of God. You don't try it for a little while. You don't dabble in it. No, you got to be all in. It's one of the things that sets apart those that are serious about serving God and being a follower of Jesus is that they stay in the Word. He says, then you are my disciples indeed. So you read it every day. You meditate it. What does that mean? You just go over it and over it and over it. Memorize it. I don't know how many of you remember this. A couple of years ago, most of the church, we memorized Psalm 23. We went over a verse a week. And it's amazing, after 6 weeks, we could quote the whole entire thing. My 2-year-old granddaughter, she was 2 years old at the time, and she learned it. 2-year-old quoting Psalm 23. She could barely say the words, but she memorized it. I'm just telling you, people say, oh, you know, I'm not into that. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You go over it a phrase at a time, enough times, you can memorize it. And you get it down on the inside of you. It's amazing how it'll build and strengthen your faith and how that word will start coming up out of you just at the time that you need it. You know, listen, when Jesus was tempted, I mean when Satan himself set Jesus up for great temptation, Jesus spoke the word every time. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." We need to be able to quote the scripture. We need to be able to say, the Bible says this. We need to know what it says. There is so much phony baloney doctrine in our generation. I believe it is worse than it's ever been, at least in the last several hundred years, where there's so much loose doctrine, stuff that is just not even in the Bible. And people twist a scripture and preach a whole entire doctrine off of some twist that they made off of a scripture. And how will you know? You got to know the Bible. You got to stay in the Word so you know what the scripture says. And when they start misquoting the scripture, you know they're misquoting the scripture. In fact, it'll help you when you're reading the Bible or you're listening to a sermon. You know, some of these new weird translations, well, they're not even translations. They're just paraphrases of somebody's interpretation of what the Bible says. And I got to tell you, I know certain passages and certain verses, and I'll hear somebody read one of these verses or passages that I know, and they're reading it from this weird paraphrase. I don't even recognize it. It's like a totally different thing. And a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that's fresh. Ooh, that's good. I hadn't heard that before. Because it's not in the Bible. You need to stay in the Bible and the Word of God so you know what it says. You got to be able to stand on it. You can't stand on something that you don't know. My wife says that's right, y'all. I'm just saying. Listen to sermons. Read books that are full of the Word. Stay in it. Live in it. If you dabble in the Word, you're going to dabble at following Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you stay in my Word, if you continue in my Word, then you really are my disciples. If you stay in the Word, it'll bring blessing on your life. You know why? Because if you stay in the Word, you'll end up doing it. Joshua 1:8 says, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Say, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, here it is in the New Testament. It's just worded a little different. James 1:25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Same principles. You stay in the Word. You continue in it. It's not just a thing I heard once on a Sunday. No, we're staying in it. We're continuing in it. We don't forget what we heard, but instead, we just keep on with it, keep going with it. And he says, him being a doer of the work, see, that's what happens. When you stay in the Word, you end up doing it. And when you're a doer of the Word, this man will be blessed in what he does. So this year, as we wrap this one up, let's leave behind the casual attitude about the Word of God. Let's leave behind the attitudes that, oh, that's boring, or, oh, I can't understand that. Yes, you can. You just got to start where you are. I remember when I first got born again and I started reading the Bible, you know, I had a King James, and I was like, I don't understand what this is talking about. I got me a Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, and sometimes it ain't that great, although it's a lot better than some of the phony baloney that's out now. But I got that Living Bible. I put it by my King James, and I read the the King James, and I read the Living Bible. I didn't have a parallel. I didn't even know there was such a thing, but I had those two Bibles, and that helped me get started to learn the Bible. But here's my point is that, you know what? You can start where you are, and you can learn to understand the Bible, but you won't ever get there if you don't do it. You got to stay in it. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. How are his words going to abide in you? How are they going to live in you? You're going to get them inside. You got to stay in the word until it abides in you. Stay in it. Don't forget the word. Continue in it. Continue in brotherly love. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love is the family kind of love. It's the way that we are supposed to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's the agape love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And we are supposed to love others that way also. But this particular verse, Hebrews 13:1, says, "Love, let brotherly love continue." It's talking about that love you have for your family, those that are close to you. And that's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. People that you care for as your very own. It's that warm, friendly, hugging kind of love that we belong together. Now, we've had to put some of that affection on hold this year. There's no greeting each other with a holy kiss. I hadn't told this story in a long time, but when I first got to Bible college, I think it was the very first day, in fact, a bunch of us kind of gathered out on the grounds. There's like 15 of us maybe gathered out on the grounds in a circle, and we were like praying and singing some songs. And one guy said, "Well, I just think we ought to greet one another with the holy kiss." Prayer meeting was over. Just ruined it. I'm just telling you. That was a cultural thing, you know. But here's the principle is that we greet one another warmly. And I realize that's been, you know, kind of put on hold, as I said. But we got to still have that in our heart for one another, that we love one another and we're glad to see each other and we greet each other that way. That's that brotherly love like that. Remember, let it continue, he said. You know, some people just walk away from church. And I'm not talking about missing church because of COVID-19. I'm talking about some people just write off church. They just decide they don't really need church. And they don't realize how great of a blessing it is to have a church family. Now, here's the thing. Everybody has or will be hurt at church. You know why? Because people go there. But somehow it's different at church. I mean, it don't matter where you go. There's going to be people that hurt your feelings or offend you or wrong you in some way. I mean, there's ugly people almost everywhere. We don't happen to have any at this church. We have the sweetest people. But I'm just telling you, sooner or later, everybody gets their feelings hurt at church. Everybody gets mistreated in some way. But you know what? That's why we do what our Lord says and we forgive one another. And we do what the Scripture says and we forbear with one another. We just, you know, we're family. We love each other like brothers. We even love our enemies. So don't stop loving. Leave behind the hurts, the unforgiveness. Leave behind the don't care attitude. You know, sometimes that's kind of a self-defense mechanism. We decide we don't care. Oh, you need to leave that behind, because the Bible says you got to let brotherly love continue. Next, we got to continue in the faith. Acts 14:22 says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. I want to do that tonight. I want to exhort you to continue in the faith, and saying we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You know what? We've had plenty of tribulations this year. Plenty of trouble. All the more reason we got to continue in the faith. You just got to keep going. Now, this one's not so hard if you stay in the Word, because the Word will always build and strengthen your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And whatever the problem is that you're dealing with today, there's a promise for that problem. But you got to be in the Bible in order to know that and to find that promise. Lots of tribulations. Doesn't take much for some people to give up. We need to decide, you know what, there's nothing or nobody going to back me off of my faith, my relationship with God. I'm going to continue in the faith, trusting God, believing Him, relying upon Him every day. 2 Timothy 4:7, the Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You got to keep the faith, finish your race. It's got to be continued. Next, continue in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to change the way we do things. We certainly have had to do that a lot this year. But we should never, ever, ever stop doing the work of the Lord. And I want you to understand that this was not written to the apostles. This was written to the church. Specifically, in this case, it was written to the Corinthian church, but it was written to the church, to all the people, not just the apostles. And he says, continue. You got to stay in it. You got to keep doing it. Always abounding, he says, in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And why do we continue in it? Because we know that our labor is not in vain. Sometimes it seems like it's in vain. This is actually the hardest part of the ministry to me. I've had all kinds of mean stuff done to me. Years ago, praise the Lord. All kinds of junk that happened to me. But the most discouraging thing of all is that there are times when it seems like I'm not making a difference. It seems like lives aren't being changed, at least not as obviously and as fast as what I want to see. But here's what I know. My labor is not in vain. As we plant and we water and God gives the increase. That's the promise of the Scripture. And the Scripture tells us we should always be abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain. And I just want to point this out to you. He says abounding in the work of the Lord. Again, he doesn't say to dabble in it. He doesn't say, hey, find some little something you can do. No, you're supposed to abound in the work of the Lord. We need to be about the Master's business. We're not just here, you know, another day, another dollar. That's not what life is about. I mean, you go to a job every day, it's a mission field. It's an opportunity. I'm just telling you, whatever we're doing, we need to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Always involved in ministry. It's one of the weird things about the church culture of the day. It's not sour grapes. I'm not down on mega churches. I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. If they're reaching a lot of people and lives are being changed, I thank God for that. But I'm just telling you that there is this church culture today where you just come in and you just put a little offering in and praise the Lord, and that's the extent of their involvement. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We are all part of the body of Christ. We are all supposed to be involved in the work of the Lord. In some way, we all have a part in this, and we all have a part in the reward. The scripture says the one that sows and the one that reaps, they both have a reward. And so we all are a part of that. Continue. Stay in the work of the Lord. We are co-laborers together with God. We just got to be about our Father's business. And you know what? His business is not about gossip or criticism or pick-nitting other people. No, we need to leave all that behind and instead be about His business. We also need to leave the excuses behind. There's always something else to do. But we need to realize how important the kingdom is, and that souls are why Jesus died on the cross. And so we want to finish His work. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." We need to have that same attitude, because Jesus said, you see, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." What is He talking about? I mean, the disciples had just brought back lunch, and they're like, you know, "Lord, we brought you some food." And He's like, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Because Jesus knew there was something that satisfies more than anything in this world, and that is seeing lives change. Oh, how exciting that is, how powerful that is. And we all want to and need to be a part of that, to make a difference in the lives of others. Next, continue in the grace of God. Acts 13:43. "Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." You know what? There's always a temptation for us to fall into a system of works, to go back to that works mentality, and it's so much bondage. It's not a new thing, I'm telling you. It's always been this way, but usually it comes off this way, where there's pride involved, because we end up judging others. Again, somehow we start thinking it's our job to criticize others, and we end up, like Jesus said, we strain on a gnat and swallow a camel, because there will be things in our own life that are way worse, but we'll judge somebody else. But you got to continue in grace. You know, grace is how we begin a relationship with the Lord, but that's also how you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And you know, here we are about to start into a new year. I just encourage you, leave behind any self-righteousness. And along with it, leave behind any guilt and shame. The Bible says in Romans 8 that there is no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. You need to leave all that stuff behind. It's not just because it's a new year. Every day His mercies are new. So continue in the grace of God. Don't let those old things hold you any longer. Now, some people think that grace is a license for immorality. Jude wrote about that in his letter. But Paul says very plainly that, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He says, "God forbid." No, it is as we continue in the grace of God that we are free from all of those old sins. Leave them behind. Continue in the grace of God. Next and last, continue to praise God. Psalm 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Continually be in my mouth. Well, that doesn't leave any room for complaining. Doesn't leave any room, well, for that gossip again. Doesn't leave any room for us finding fault, talking negative, jumping on the bandwagon with all the negative stuff going on in our world today. Nope, not going to do it. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, we don't want to be one of those that is always complaining, always has something negative to say. No, we want to be one of those that's always lifting the Lord up. And you know what happens when you lift the Lord up? You're lifting yourself up too. And you're lifting up those around you. It edifies others and strengthens others when you lift the Lord up. Let His praise continually be in my mouth. Now tomorrow, I'm going to my dad's celebration of life. He passed on this week. He's with the Lord. And I'm so thankful that he's with the Lord. I praise the Lord for giving me such a loving dad. Made it easy for me to understand that my Heavenly Father loves me. And I just praise the Lord that my dad didn't suffer long and that he is no suffering now. No, where he is, there's joy. There's pleasure evermore, the Bible says. And I'm just telling you that no matter what's going on in our life or in our world, there's always something to complain about and there's always something to praise God for. It is a choice we make. So leave behind the complaining. Leave all that in 2020. It just seems to fit in 2020. Let's not take it into 2021. Let's make a determination. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I believe this. If we'll continue in these things, we're going to see victory. You know, I said at the beginning, I didn't like shows that you didn't know how they were supposed to end. Well, I believe we know how this one's supposed to end. It ends in victory. But we got to continue in these things to see that victory. Stand with me. We're going to pray.